Okay, this is talking with Brian Cooper on 6 March 78 at Radio Physics in Sydney. Well, could you tell me what your educational background and then your experience as an engineer was over the many years before you actually directly got involved in radio astronomy?
Yes. Well, I did engineering at Sydney University, and along with several of the people in CSIRO, we were moved over to radio physics in the war years because the prophet at that time, Sir John Madson, as he became later, recruited practically every engineering graduate or electrical engineering graduate to join radio physics division, Minette,
right,
who preceded me, and Jack Warner, he went to cloud physics. Most of the graduates.
Mills, I think.
Mills was later than me, the next crop, and Bracewell, Ron Bracewell. Right. Well, several people, a lot of whom have gone to other divisions or other pursuits. Well, apart from a year, in 1946, when the war ended, I felt like a trip overseas and established contact with the National Research Council in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 18 months with them. Actually, I remember seeing a little bit of Cummington's early operations over there. But I was on some instrumentation for terrain mapping, a radar altimeter, before I came back to Australia.
I see. What was the primary thing that you worked on in the division during the war?
Mostly airborne radar and...
But the receiver side?
We used to... spread ourselves over pretty widely over the field. I was concerned with the lightweight early warning radar. We developed a set that proved useful in the Pacific area because it could be easily transportable.
I've seen that thing described in the radar textbook. You know that?
Yes.
And apparently became a workhorse.
Yes. Turned out to be the right thing at the right time, the right place. I suppose I spent most time really on ground early warning radar, mm-hmm. but we did dabble a little bit in airborne radar. There was a thing called Rebecca Eureka, which was meant to be a forward operations set. A beacon on the ground called Eureka, and piece of equipment in the... it was really an interrogator responsor
system. Right, right.
That was good fun. We were flying bow fighters with these crash rock fighter pilots who used to get thrown about a bit, and they didn't mind 5G turns.
Right, right. It's good fun as long as you weren't getting shot at, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway... after you came back from Canada, what did you work on?
That was the stage when Taffy was setting up his rainmaking operations, and he could see the need for various forms of applying electronics to them. He did start off with the obvious use of radar for studying precipitation, but one thing I did work on for a while was a balloon-borne instrument to send up into when it started to rain, measure the distribution of drop sizes
with
altitude, try and get some information on the formation of rain. It turned out to be a rather difficult operation. You really got the uniform rain conditions that you could, we used to start raining, went up on a 6-foot Met balloon, suspended a long way below it, and there was a microphone. The raindrops went pitter on, and according to the size of the impulse, you calibrated.
Oh, is that how you got it? Yes.
But usually the rain would be quite non-uniform in distribution, so it didn't tell you much about the rate at which drops grew on the way down through the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a fairly widespread rain condition, it usually be extremely heavy, and if it was sort of operations.
So you were with Rain Physics for how long then?
For, I suppose, 2 years. But then the computer operations were starting, and I felt that was more interesting, and I got back into that.
Mm-hmm. And what were the main things you were trying to do in that field?
Particular thing I was interested in was the magnetic drum storage, that was technique was in its infancy, and we took it to a certain stage, but by then the large scale industrial manufacturers beginning to take over in the States, and so we left at that stage. It was obviously going to become a large scale engineering operation,
mm-hmm.
best handled by industry.
Yes. What year was that now?
That would be 1948 to 50 sort of time.
And the whole computer operation closed up at that point.
Then it gradually tapered off. Maston Beard, who was running the computer operations at that time, he got a little bit involved in radio astronomy, but not much. But he's seconded to be the acting chief of the Division of Computing Research in Canberra.
I see. Mm. So what was the next thing that you worked on after computers?
The transistor was just hitting the headlines at that stage, and Taffy decided this was something we ought to be in. And we set the work up from both angles, the semiconductor physics angle. Lou Davies, who's now the chief physicist at Amalgamated Wireless down North Ryde,
mm-hmm.
He started up the physical operations, started to grow germanium crystals and purify them,
dope
them, make various forms of transistor, and study the physics of semiconductors in various ways, and using some of our own rudimentary transistors, and also buying in the new devices that were coming on the market, and we did some devices, and I guess the most useful one was attempting to make a solid-state version of the airborne distance measuring equipment, which had become standard equipment on Australian Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Then Australia got in early on the airborne distance measuring equipment for en route navigation, because we decided early to operate early on the too many earlys, getting on the 200 megahertz band, which was a rather suitable band for the type of equipment we designed, the airlines saw the use of it quite early, and so it went into production, I think, in the early 50s. and established itself as a very useful aid for the local airlines. While overseas, there was a lot of hassle about the band to be used. Decided to go to 1,000 megahertz, where there was a lot more development work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We got quite a good lead on that type of nav aid, and of course it was all built with vacuum tubes in those days, but in the early 50s we thought it would be a very good starting exercise to try and transistorize it as far as possible. So we did that prototype development work and handed that over to Amalgamated Wireless again.
I see. And so it actually did get converted to a solid state?
Yes.
And at what time was that project finished, more or less?
I don't think we really started seriously on the airborne DME until about the middle 50s, and it was handed over to Amalgamated Wireless in the late 50s.